Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome on this homecoming service today at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Let's all stand, grab a Songs to Remember, the yellow book. Turn to page 5. Page 5. I'm excited to be in church today, y'all. Turn over to 228. 228. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Yeah. appreciate the good number of people that are here today. We have got a lot of visitors with us today. This is our homecoming service, and we are thankful that you are here today. This is the, I think it said 38th year, I guess it is, of this church since it was organized. And I'm going to do it this way. I know we've got some charter members. Maybe I should do it. I'm seeing some that's not in here yet. So back up on that. Anybody that is a former pastor, if you would, please stand up. Brother Rick is here. I guess he's our only former pastor. Thank you, Brother Rick. Good to have Brother Rick Oliver here today. Brother James, would you stand up, please? He's not a former pastor, but he helped in the original work of this church. And we are glad that Brother James Shoulders is with us today. And appreciate you coming today. And like I said, I'm going to wait. I know we've got a few more charter members that's still back there in the back. And maybe they're going to come in here in a few minutes. And where we can recognize the original charter members of our church. And so we'll keep that in mind here for a little bit later. Just to let you know, Brother Bill Green, who done the original work here as far as getting this church organized, of course, he's still a member here, and he is going to give a brief history of this church down towards the last of our service today. And the other thing that we're going to do is a little different. You don't have to listen to me today. I knew I'd get an amen out of them. The moderator for the organization, and you might say, well, that's why are you making this big deal about when the church started? It is a big deal. It's a big deal in God's eyes. I want you to understand that, first of all. But it's good for us to know where we came from. There's a reason why every 4th of July that we remember Independence Day in this country. It sets a place in which that we should have in mind that this country started on that day. It's good for a church to remember that. To remember where you came from and to keep that in mind. And so we're doing that today. Now, Brother G.W. Knight was the moderator for that service that day in which this church was organized. And Lord impressed me earlier in the week when I heard Brother G.W. was coming. Lord said, get him to preach. And so that's what I've done. I've asked Brother G.W. to preach today, and he consented to it. At first, he was backing up and saying, no, I want to come hear you. And I know that feeling. But then the Lord impressed, I think, is what I'm going to say he did. And he's going to be bringing the message today. So I want you to be prayerful for him. Pray that the Lord will bless him in a great way. Before I go any further today, for everybody that was with us last week, did you enjoy worshiping the Lord like you did last week? Amen. You ought to. It's good for a church to truly, we go into church and we say we worship the Lord. And yes, to a certain degree we do. But there's times when you really, really worship the Lord. And that's what I saw out of y'all last week. Now, what I'm going to say is, if you enjoyed that, there's a way of getting back to that place. And that's, first of all, humbling yourself and being willing to take part and being willing to listen to the Lord in that way. And if you'll do that again today and next Sunday, you, as the kids used to say, it'll get gooder and gooder. Now, I know that's bad English, but the idea should be that we should want to feel those blessings of the Lord. And we should, if you want to feel those blessings, worship God. Just worship Him. And He'll give you those blessings. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want us to go back to last Sunday and say, boy, we got a blessing last Sunday, and I just want to feel it again and keep thinking about that. Best thing to do if you want to feel a blessing like that you did last Sunday is turn around and let's go forward and looking for another one. That's the best way to do it. So that's what I want to encourage you to do today, is not just take this day as a day of remembrance as far as the history of the church and a chance to see. And I've seen a lot of our church members. I'm seeing people that came in for, that were former members. I'm thankful you're all here today. And I want you to just be blessed in this day. But more than anything else today, let's worship God. All right, I'll hush. Let's get on about our normal service and starting to worship the Lord. We always, for you that are visiting with us, we always have what we call a children's church. And in that children's church, what we do is we have Brother Sam talks to all of our kids for a little bit about God. So, Brother Sam, I'm going to turn it over to you at this time.
Let's go. Over here. All right. Looking good. Bring them on. All of them. Looking good. We got one or two more coming. Good to see everybody. Well, y'all are dressed like we're having a good service today, aren't you? It's special today, isn't it? It is special today. Everybody having a good one? Hey, buddy. You want to sit right here? Right there is your place. I think I saved that for you right there. Sweet. Very good. Very good. All right. What are y'all going to do for lunch? Eat? Where? Where are you going to eat? Eat here. Why? Did somebody plan that? We planned it, right? We planned it. What are you going to do next week? You got any plans? Can I sit here with you? All right. I like to look at them on an eye level. Y'all got plans next week? What you got? Going to school. What about vacation? Where y'all going vacation next year? Hey, buddy. Where y'all going vacation next year? Do you know who you're going to marry? I'm asking you about your plans for the future. Any plans? Any plans at all? Tell me something you plan to do in the future. Go to the beach. I like that. Anything else? Anybody going to college? Can I raise a hand? Yeah, raise a hand. Everybody like going to college? All right, I like that. So we like to make plans, right? And we hope that they come true. Do you know who knows what our plans are? Do you know who knows that? Who knows that? Yes. And why does he know that? He created us, and he knows us better than we know. But you know, here's the secret. He knows the future. He said in Isaiah that he knows the end from the beginning. He knows that. Okay, and so whatever that we're doing, he wants us to have plans, and he wants us to prosper, and he wants us to do good, right? But he said in Jeremiah, you've heard of Jeremiah? You know that? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You might have heard this quoted differently, but here's what it says. Yeah, speak it. There you go. He said, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, for to give you an expected end." So, he wants your plans to come to fruition. But what you also need to understand that your planning needs to be done with a good dose of God. There's a lot of God in your future, okay? But hold to his hand. Don't ever let go. Say, "Lord, help me prosper in this thing that I'm doing. Help me go to school. Help me stay, you know, help me be fruitful for you." So whatever that you're doing and you're planning, make sure that God knows what it is. He knows how it ends, okay? So it's up to you to kind of help find that path, okay? And he'll lead you there. And he won't lead you wrong. When we go astray, sometimes that's when we follow our own thoughts. But we need to follow what the Lord has for us. Y'all think y'all can repeat that verse after me? Can you do that? Wake up. Let's say that verse, okay? Let's say the verse. Repeat it after me. Ready? Come on. Here we go. Say it real loud for everybody here so they can hear you across the street. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, for to give you an expected end." Thank you. You may go. Well, you did good. He did good. He did good. Thank you.
Brother Sam, I hope you all know how much that I appreciate Brother Sam doing those. It is good for the kids to get to be talked to about God. I hope you do it at home, and it's good for them to hear these things, is what it is. We appreciate each one being here today. We're glad to have all of our visitors with us. The next thing we are going to do is we're getting ready to go to the Lord in prayer. So it is especially good for us today to get prayer on our hearts and on our minds. And what I would ask you to do today is think about somebody that needs prayer. And if you want to share that with us tonight, today, so we can all pray for them, let us know right now. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? Everybody's quiet today, huh? Okay, Brother Owen, who is reading our lesson today, our prayer request? Who? Landon? Oh, Landon.
This week's birthdays are Sister Beth. This week's anniversaries are Rodney and Wendy Scott. This week's prayer requests are pray for Sister Mona's surgery tomorrow. Remember Brother Slick as he has surgery tomorrow. Pray for Brother Sonny's wife, Linda, that is sick. Pray for the service today and Brother G.W. Knight as he preaches, and especially the lost to be saved.
Appreciate you doing that today, Landon. I'd like to say we appreciate always all of our young people taking part in our services. And if sometimes we do not ask you to do something, come to me and say, I want to do something. Do that. It's a good thing. And for you to take part in our services always. With that being said, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Any other prayer requests before we go any further? I will mention this, Brother Slick Oliver is having surgery this week, but he is also having a problem with gout today. He's gotten sick, so do remember him a little extra. We didn't know about that this morning, but do remember him in your prayers, as well as all of us, and as it's already been stated, let's do remember Brother G.W. as he'll be bringing the message today. Anybody else have anything on your heart before we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, help. Let's do remember this. Somebody else? Yeah. Let's do remember Brother Andy in our prayers. Somebody else? We appreciate each and every one being here today. We want everybody to pray in this service today. Pray in your own way. Whether you pray out loud or quietly, you just pray is the main thing that I want you to do today in this service. And so let's be about God's business. And as I said earlier, let's be sure that we pray for Brother G.W. today. Brother, did I hear somebody else? Brother Rick Oliver, will you start our prayer, please?
Today, immediately after the service, we'll be taking up a special offering for Belize to help with the water situation there. It's time now that we will receive our offering. Thank you. You may be seated. As we continue our worship service, turn over to page 230. Song called Homecoming Day. over to one page, 232. 232. One more congregational song, one we haven't done here. 156. Absolutely. Absolutely. 156.
Thank you.
back to their seats. I want them to get a good view of this service today. We are glad that each and every one of you are here today. We're seeing members that are here that haven't been able to be here because of sickness and such. We are so thankful that you are here today. We're seeing visitors that we haven't seen in a while. We're glad that you are here too. But on top of that, I'm glad to see our membership here today. We're glad you're here too. Sometimes we forget to say that about our members, and we are glad that you're here. One quick announcement. If you may have noticed it when you walked into the door, there is a nice aroma out there in the hallway. And everybody has done a good job of fixing for our lunch, for our homecoming today. Everybody stay. There'll be plenty of food. Don't worry about it. Even if you did not bring anything to eat, stay with us. Don't get in a hurry to leave, in other words, after we dismiss our service. We just want to see a good day of fellowship, a good day of remembrance, and there's things back there that for you to see and to remember how this church was, what it's went through over the years as far as meeting places and pastors and such. We appreciate everything that's been done that this church could get here to this day. Now, as I said, in the organization, Brother G.W. Knight served as moderator, and he is going to be bringing the message today for us. I want you to be prayerful for him today as he comes forward to this day. I do want to say, as you're coming up, Brother G.W., the altar is always open. If you're here today and you need to get saved, this is a good place to pray. It will not save you, but it is a good place to pray. If you're saved, it's a good place to pray. And you don't have to wait for us to give an opportunity to come up and pray. If you're in need to pray, pray. Please pray. Maybe you need to pray for somebody on the other side of the house. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. Maybe you need to pray for this church. Maybe you need to pray for the preacher. Whatever it is, you pray. We're going to turn the service over to Brother G.W. at this time. Brother G.W. Knight, a longtime friend. And a good preacher, too. So we'll give you that opportunity now, Brother Jesus. You lead it as the Lord leads.
Well, I'd say good morning to everybody. Glad to see you here. And I'm glad to be here. Like when Brother Hackett called me the other day, I did. I tried to crawfish on him. I always enjoy hearing old country preacher. We watch him on television a lot. Appreciate him. Brother Hackett and I go back a long time. We've worked together in revivals. Our families have ties. And you know, what ties things together is the love of God. Amen. I'm just thankful today to be here, to be in this service, to be with you. And a special invitation that the church sent out to us to come. I want to thank you for that. Because this is a special day for Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Homecoming. But folks, I want to tell you something. We're going to have a homecoming some of these days. Amen. That last song we were singing there, Eyes Have Not Seen, Ears have not heard. I've been asked different times, well, what's it going to be like? According to the Bible, what's it going to be like when you get over there? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The only thing I can tell you about what it's going to be like when we get over there, it's going to be just right. Amen. What it's going to look like, we have a little biblical description that John talked about the city over there. The size of it, everything about it, not half has been told. Amen. It's sort of like when the apostles seen something and
Spirit told him, said, shut the book. Be quiet. Don't tell that. You know, down here in our little old feeble bodies, if we could clearly see what it's like over yonder, honey, we'd fall dead like that. We couldn't stand it. But you know, we're going to have a body that'll be able to stand it some of these days. And I thank God for that. You know, thinking back about Murfreesboro Church, the more I read the letter, and I guess that letter that was sent out, Sister Ruth sent us, I guess I've read that letter as much as any letter I've ever received. I'd read it, put it back in the envelope and lay it back down, which there at home we have a microwave stand there, and a lot of our mail comes in, we lay it there on that stand. Well, this letter laid there on that stand for a pretty good while. I'd pick it up, lay it back down there. Well, here a few days ago, I got to thinking a little bit more about it. Well, I picked the letter up and I walked back to my study, sat down, turned the desk light on, I opened it up and I read it again. Some people say, well, preacher, why'd you read it so much? It's heart refreshing to me to hear about one of God's bodies that are still advancing on, still going, still fighting the battle, upholding the truth. And church, I want to say to you this morning, God bless your heart, that you're still hanging on. We read in history where a lot of them that we've known about, that, pardon the expression, sort of fizzled out and died. People lost interest in it. Well, you know, today there are still people that are losing interest in the work of God. But thanks, as I used to hear, some of you may have known him, I don't know, Brother Clyde Grizzle, our pastor, man that baptized me. One of his famous sayings was, the few faithful few. Well, I'm glad today for the few faithful few that are still holding her up. Keeping house for God. And as I thought about this day, after Brother Hackett called me about preaching today, I began trying to pray about what the Lord would have me to do and say, which I'd already been praying this service would be one that God get honor and glory out of. Well, my mind went in a dozen different directions. I began thinking a little bit about the history of this church. Now, I don't know what y'all got planned for today. That's between you and the Lord. But I hope and pray that it will be a day of blessing to all of us. And it will be if we'll follow the leadership of God. But I began thinking a little bit about the lineage of this church. And I'll say this, I'm not much of a historian. As I've told people a lot of times, my worst subject in high school was history. Matter of fact, I just graduated by the skin of my teeth because of history. But after the Lord called me to preach, history began to be something that come to life. Because we all need to know where we come from. Brother Hackett made mention that a while ago. You know, there's so many people in our church world today, and when I say our church world, local bodies, that don't have a clue why we are what we are today. Well, you know, we hear the advertisement on TV a lot. And I'm sure you've seen it. Get on there and punch on that little green leaf and go back in history and your lineage. All of you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to preach on a computer today, because if I did, it'd be a short subject. But you know, our lineage, our church lineage, should be talked about. Let people know who we are, what we are, and where we came from. Now, folks, I'm not going to preach on the lineage of the church today. Don't y'all get that in mind. But I do want to bring you a little history lesson just for a moment. There's another thought that's on my heart today, and we'll get into that just in a minute. Y'all just give me a little leeway. So I sat down and I began to do a little lineage tracing, if you would. And I'm not going all the way back in it today. We can do it some other time, but not today. But I do want to bring just a few points to you, which is Brother Hackett made mention a while ago. I had the blessed opportunity of being the moderator when this church was organized. I also had the great privilege of pastoring the mother church of this one while y'all were meeting in a mission, and even while you were going through the organizational and getting ready for it, then the organization day itself. Pastored Long Fork Missionary Baptist Church up in Macon County. Talking to your security officer out here a while ago, he and I were standing there talking. He said, "Oh, the word's sort of a legend." I said, "No, just old." I know, I thought I'd get a laugh out of that one. You know, people say, "Oh, you shouldn't do stuff like that at the church house." God hadn't intended for us to laugh a little bit. He'd made our mouth go down, that'd been it. We should be the happiest people in the world. Why? Because we are the most blessed people in the world. When you think about it, this brief history lesson, I wrote it down here. If y'all want, I don't have a sermon out here, but I do have a little history lesson here I want to give y'all just for a moment. Murfreesboro Church was organized 11/10/1984. Came out of Long Fork Church. Long Fork was organized 4/3/1914. Long Fork came out of, with 28 charter members, 14 of them came from Days Cross Road and 14 came from Liberty. These churches up in Macon County. Days Cross Road came out of Lafayette Church, and Lafayette Church came out of Liberty, so the mother church of Long Fork and Liberty. Lafayette was organized in 1849. Days Cross Road was organized 1885. Liberty was organized 1822. Liberty came out of Hillsdale, which was organized in 1817. Hillsdale came out of Dixon Creek, which was organized in 1800. Dixon Creek came out of El Bethel, which is now called Station Camp over in Sumner County after they moved from where they originally were. El Bethel was organized in 1796. El Bethel came out of New Bethel, which is down in Davidson County, which was originally called Tennessee Baptist Church. It was organized in 1794. New Bethel came out of Red River, which is up in Robertson County. Organized 1791. Red River came out of Clear Creek, was 1785. Clear Creek came out of Happy Creek, 1783. That's enough of the history. I just wanted to give you a brief insight on where we came from. And folks, I'll just tell you this before we get in and read a verse of scripture here. You can take that lineage, and you can go from church to church to church to church, all the way back yonder to the one that Jesus set up. You say, well, preacher, can you prove that? Well, we often use history to prove a point. Well, I'll tell you something this morning, folks. This book that I hold before you today is not a book of history, but yet history is contained in it. Our history. And in that our history, I want to give you a verse of scripture, and we'll try to pick up our thought with this. That'll be found in the first book of Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. Peter made the statement, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. And I want to underline that word reason. We'll be talking more about it in a moment. Of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always. Folks, if it ever was a people in the world that should be telling it, we used to sing an old song said, tell it everywhere you go. Tell people who we are. And tell people why we are what we are. You notice I told you I'd underline the word reason. What is the reason that we are even here today? The only begotten of God, Jesus Christ, is our reason. He's our hope. And folks, he's the only hope that the world has today. That's why that you and I, as the people of God, need to tell it. To not be ashamed of that hope that's within us. And folks, I want you to know something. We that have been saved by the grace of God, we have a lively hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean a lively hope? Honey, I want you to know something this morning, that my Jesus is alive. Amen. I suppose yonder on Calvary, when he gave up the ghost over there, those head waggers went away from there, so we've got rid of this blasphemer. We killed him. Folks, I want you to realize something this morning, that nobody had the power to kill Jesus. He was willing. Willing to die. He came into this world, and John spoke of him as being a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came into this world with that in him that he would go to the cross of Calvary. You know, all the things that they did to him while he was here, he knew every bit of it before it happened. You remember the prayer that he prayed when he was in Gethsemane? He said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. Who was he talking to? Honey, he was talking to the Father. The same fellow that if you pray and that's who you talk to through him. It's who you talk to, the Father. So listen, we do have a reason today. We do have something that we can stand on. Now I know there are people in the world today who say, well, you shouldn't tell it like that. Well, I know no other way to tell it than the truth. What does the Bible say about the truth? The writer said the truth will set you free and you'll be free indeed. So I'm glad this morning that we do have a reason. Some say, well, if they died on the cross, where's he at? You remember the story yonder when the disciples and all of them, they brought the Lord before the temple. You know, you read about the temple. You read about a beautiful structure. You read about Jesus and you read about a beautiful person. Not one to be desired after with a natural eye, but beauty from the heart. But when they brought him before this temple and to show him the beauty of it, he told them, he said, not one stone would be left upon another. Talking about it being crumbled. He was not talking about that building, but he was talking about this building, his own body. He said, but in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. They began to question him about the length of time it took the people to build that temple. They still didn't understand. God bless your heart. There are people in the world today that still don't understand that Jesus is our reason. But he told them, he said, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Aren't you glad today for the gospel? Amen. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's the whole thing. Amen. That's why you and I have a hope and a reason within us today. Amen. So that's why he tells us be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. In other words, to not be ashamed of it. We want to go back just a moment to something that the psalmist said back yonder. Psalms 119, verse 46. And I want you to listen to this. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Amen. Honey, I'm afraid today people are ashamed to let other people know about it. You know, we're living in a society today, there are people from all walks of life. I like Brother Hackett's TV heading, the old country preacher man. And I say that with all due respect to him because I appreciate his work. Thank God for him. Well, folks, I want you to know something today. I'm just an old country boy myself, raised up on a farm. But moreover than that, just as a boy, just across the hill from where I was raised at, There was an old two-room country schoolhouse. Just a while prior to that, Liberty Hill Church was organized. They were meeting in that schoolhouse. They organized in August 1958. I'm talking about June 1959. Somebody say, wait a minute, you are getting old, aren't you? Yep, but I'm glad of it. Because I've got something within me that I can tell you about. Amen. 1959, they were having a revival meeting there in that old building. An old two-room schoolhouse. And I want you to know something. That old building is gone, but what happened to me there gets sweeter every day. Amen. They were carrying on a revival there during the last of June, 1959. Brother Clyde Grizzle and Brother Claudia Miller. Some of y'all may remember those names. I can't tell you what day of the week it was. You know, we sing the old song sometimes. It was on a Monday and a Tuesday and so on and so forth. Well, I have to wait around till it was a great day for it. It don't make any difference what day you got saved on. It was a great day. One night there during that revival meeting, there stood a 12-year-old boy back in the house. Just unconcerned as anything, watching what was going on, and those people were. Altar full. Mourner's bench setting full. People around all over the place. And I'll go ahead and tell y'all this. I got something to tell folks. There was a little old white-haired woman. I mean a little short woman. Brother Clyde Grizzle's good companion, Sister Ella. I was standing way back here. She was over yonder. But I saw that little woman start walking around through that altar. Like I said, she was just a little short woman. But honey, the Lord pointed her out to me just, she was here and I was back yonder. The Lord told me she's coming to you. Sure enough. Back in that house that night, she come back there and laid her hand right there. Now, folks, we hear people talk about what people told them, said to them, all this, that, and the other. As far as what Sister Eller said to me, it'd be a short testimony in it. She said, son, are you lost? But I'll tell y'all tonight, or today, folks, that night when she laid that hand right there, that was her witness with the help of the Lord to me. That hand. When she laid it on my shoulder, it felt like a ton of brick come down on me. I don't know what else she said or even if she said anything else. I don't know what else happened. Next thing I remember, I was on the end of an old mourner's bench. People talk about, well, all that they've seen coming around, and y'all might get tired of this, but I'm telling you my testimony. I'm not ashamed of it. There's the old song they used to sing, says, I was there when it happened, I guess I ought to know. Amen. And I'm glad I do know. Sometime that night, like I said, I don't know what people said to me. I know how that people was. Somebody went in the altar, or went on the mourner's bench, a sinner come in, that place would fill up, and them people began to work. They were already praying, but they began to work. On down that night, there was something that went away from me. All of that grief that I had, all of that hurt that I had, everything there was gone. I knew nothing else to do but get up. And I did. Wasn't crying anymore. I got up and I started out of the house. Back around those old school buildings, a bunch of kids, that when something other going on like that, someone going out in the yard and get to playing. You say, well, you mean playing when church is going on? God bless your heart. Today I'm glad people were willing to bring their kids to the house of God. Amen. Where they could hear the truth. Amen. People say, oh, kids back playing, they don't listen to what's going on. Well, I did. That's all I can speak for. I did. But as I got up and I started out, took care of it. I just get up and go. I started out of the building, going out where the other kids was at. There was a good old sister standing back over here. Between the seats. Just as I got close to her, she stepped out in front of me. She said, and people, I hear people say, oh, don't question sinners like or people like that. You might deceive them. I'm glad she questioned me. She said, Amen. G.W., what happened to you? Amen. Folks, I had to tell her what the Lord had just done for me right up there. And if she hadn't done it, I might have went for years and never told it. I don't know. But God had it in a plan to make me tell it. Honey, today God's got it in a plan for this church to advance forward in the world, so don't be ashamed to tell it.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to tell it. We want to look a few more scriptures. I've given you my testimony. I hope and pray that you have one. If you don't, the invitation has already been sent out to you, and I hope and pray that God will give you the invitation to bow and call upon His precious name while you have the opportunity. You know, today at home come be a mighty good time to get saved. You say, oh, it might disturb things. Yeah, I guess it would. It disturbed the devil. I'm glad that people that know the Lord as I know Him are always willing to pray for those that don't know Him. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that lieth within you. Do you have that hope within you today? Do you have that knowledge that you've been saved? Bear with us just a moment. Now here's what the Apostle Paul said, writing to the church at Rome. Chapter 5, verse 5. Now folks, you'll notice I'm reading these scriptures. I want you to know something today, what thus saith the Lord, not G.W. Knight. Because if people don't know what it is, they can hear me say a lot of things and go away and say, well, I just sort of doubt that. But when you hear what the word of the Lord says, you may go away doubting it, but God bless your heart, it'll come to life in you sometime or another. Either while you live or after you're dead, it'll come alive in you, because it'll either be a guiding light to you to the Lord, or it'll be a witness against you in hell. One or the other. Now listen. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Paul said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." Here's the reason it is. By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Folks, do you have the Spirit of the Lord within you? Do you? Then don't be ashamed to tell it. Be willing to stand up and say, "Well, yes, I've been saved." We hear people say, even today in our society and so-called church world, they'll make the statement, "It's just not that way anymore." Well, I'll grant you this today, friends and neighbors, it may not be to them, but God bless your heart. What Jesus said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." Amen. Malachi spoke about him. He said, "For I'm the same Lord that ye sons of Jacob should fear him." Malachi said he's the same. Forever. Honey, if he's the same forever, then why would he change something? When he made the statement that my blood's sufficient, why would he want to do something else? Why would he want to change it? God bless your heart. It's good for me. It's still good for you. Here's what Paul said about it, folks, and I'll maybe leave you with this one. We'll try not to wear your patience today. But I do want us to know something. If you've been saved by the grace of God, stand up. Amen. What did one of the writers say in the long ago? "Let the redeemed of the world say so." How is the gospel spread? I told some here a few nights ago. It's a word of mouth process. Listen. In the book of Romans also, chapter 1, verse 16. Now, Paul was a strong man in the Lord after God brought him down. He got saved, went on down to Damascus, and Ananias said, "Brother Saul." And he baptized him. Then he went off down in Arabia, stayed there for about 3.5 years. Some say, "What was he doing down there?" I don't know, I wasn't down there with him, but I can pretty sure tell you. He was communing with God. Why? Well, pick up your Bible, the New Testament. He wrote the greater portion of it by inspiration of God. Now listen what he said. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." To the Jew first. But honey, I want you to realize something this day. It doesn't make any difference what walk of life you are, what nationality you are, what country you may be from, where you've been or where you're going. My prayer is that you'll come to Jesus and make it right with Him by surrendering your heart Lord, it's me. I'm the one that's lost. You need to realize that. And the only way that you'll realize it for a certainty is the power of God get a hold of you, conviction set up, and listen, trouble set in. Then and there you'll realize there's something to this. May God bless you. Folks, tell it everywhere you go. Amen. You know, there's a song we used to try to sing, and I'm not much of a singer. But y'all listen to the words of this one. I said we're going to close. I guess we'll with this song, Brother Hackett. Lord willing. Well, the preacher was a-preaching how the Lord could set me free. Said, come on, pray, you sinners. Then he pointed his finger at me. I ran down to the altar. The tears began to roll. I begged the Lord for mercy, and that's when he saved my soul. Well, I told everybody what the Lord had done for me. Well, I told everybody how he set my spirit free. I thought to myself I'd keep it quiet, but I told it all day and I told it all night. Gonna tell everybody what the Lord had done for me. I jumped up from the altar. I was feeling as light as air. I didn't even have a worry. I didn't even have a care. I felt the Holy Spirit. My soul was free from sin. I knew the very moment that the love of God came in. Well, I told everybody what the Lord had done for me. Well, I told everybody I set my spirit free. I thought to myself I'd keep it quiet, but I told it all day and I told it all night. Gonna tell everybody what the Lord had done for me. God bless your heart. Tell it everywhere you go. Don't be ashamed of it. Brother Hagin, get back to you.
Enjoy the good message tonight. It's a good echo for what we believe. Go tell everybody. Little reason why that you have a hope for glory. That's what that message is about. Just do remember hope in our prayer. Somebody else got a testimony on your heart?
God for saving my soul.
Amen.
Brother Knight, I appreciate the message. Just thankful for what the Lord's done and is continuing to do. Love this church.
Yeah.
Still love this church. Always had a love. Back in 2003, when we were over in the old building, the church had a vision. Try to encourage that vision. It kind of seems to be the thought that's been presented here today, but I had a plan. My plans were to move to Murfreesboro to see the construction of this building through. That was my plans. God had a different plan.
Yeah.
You know, God had somebody else in mind that would see that process through. But I've carried a thought for 20 years. Blessing to see it come to fruition. And that thought the Lord gave me, it was for this church way back then. It was a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
That's right.
Back in those days, we were over there behind the bushes. The Lord blessed us. Mm-hmm. Souls saved, souls baptized.
Yeah.
My job was to be there as long as I was there. I was surprised when my work was done. That wasn't my plan.
Yeah.
But this church followed the Lord's vision, and I want to encourage you to continue to follow that vision. And I thank you for the men that keep coming to present that vision. Got out. The church got out from behind the bushes, climbed up over here on the hill, and the city is here.
Yeah.
Well, thank God. I carried that for 20 years. So I thank God that this city is on a hill. There are men like Brother T.W. Knight and yourself that are still presenting the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm saved. Thankful for my family. This church had a great influence on my children, especially my youngest. He's still singing, teaching music. Other members of my family, my wife had a burden for the ladies when we were serving over there. It's where she's at today. She's got a group of ladies. You know, devil's knocked me down a time or two. But like Paul, you know, I was cast down but not destroyed.
Yeah.
We get back up. We keep serving the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm glad I'm saved. Thankful for the opportunity to be here today.
Lord bless.
Glad that this church is alive and is thriving. Keep following God's vision and God's plan.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Good to have you with us today. Appreciate this testimony. Somebody else? I told you earlier, and bear with us just a little bit, the first pastor of this church, Brother Bill Green, and he's still a member of this church still today, a great help to us in this church. And it's been asked that he give a brief history today for you, and Brother G.W. has already given you the lineage, but he's going to tell you a little bit about what this church, what this group of people, what they went through to get started. I may get on something you ain't gonna do, but everybody that was a charter member of this church originally, please stand up.
Amen.
Everybody that's a member of this church, y'all, I didn't realize you were one of them. Glad to have you. Every one of these helped y'all get started. Bring this church up to this place. And you might think, well, that's a small little group. Some of them done gone on. They done reaping their reward. You don't sit down. I don't want to hold you up. The thing that I want you to realize, the children of Israel, they didn't start out that big bunch of people that weren't on the start, did they? Started out with a man and a woman. Started this work, and that's what Brother Bill's going to tell you about. I know some of these over here didn't get to be charter members, but they was here from the beginning. Brother Bill, if you'll come forward, and we just especially want you just to learn just a little bit here today about what went on to get this church going. Brother Bill, if you would.
I thank the Lord being able to still be here in this work. I've been preaching about 2 years. I still remember Chris and I was going to a church in Long Fork at the time. I still remember just going around the curve there on the road. I told Ruth, I said, I've been preaching about 2 years. I said, there's got to be something more to it than this. And she said, you never think about doing mission work. Why in the world would you think about doing mission work? So that's the seed started. And I just kept thinking, and I said, okay. And she said, you ever think about doing a mission work in Merciful? Why would you go over there? When I thought about doing mission work, you go overseas somewhere. You don't do any work. It's about 70 miles from home, where this place was, here. So we just kept talking about it, discussing it, and it just kept on in my mind. That's where you need to go. So we just kept talking, and so Lord just kept impressing us, that's what we needed to do. So we started coming over here and just meeting people. Well, I knew that this other works had been started over here back in the mid-60s, and the work had been started over here and almost organized. And I went and talked to that preacher, and he said, those people that you would be there now would be too old and everything. And he's still alive. I said, I just wanted to know. I wanted to leave anything at all that could help me. And so then I know there's others been over here in the mid-70s doing the work over here, and I tried to talk to them. I sought out all of them people I could, especially men of wisdom, talk to them about work, doing mission work. I'm a greenhead. I know my name is green, but I'm a greenhead of gospel. Work took me. So it was a lot of trial and error. It really was. A lot of knock down, pick up, and go again. And trust me, I almost quit one time. I really did because it gets so hard on my family. That's the hardest thing to do. Seeing my family going through the things I did. But I'm going back home, back to the family where it's from. I went to talk to one of the individuals here, and he said, you leave and it's gone. I said, you get the ball of the belt. He said, you're going to have to suck it up and keep going. And thank the Lord we did. It's all been about the Lord. Get in here with the Lord and this. We would have done it. He would not have been here. And even a short time, I was slipping in. I couldn't see you on here, too. We was going to organize. And it just, the devil kept trying to turn it down. I almost didn't do it. But thank the Lord, he saw us through it and we made it. One thing, when we got this Lord started, I went back to my home church. Long for it, and told them. I said, the Lord is leading me to do a work here in Mercer. So I knew we had to have church authority to do this work over here. So Long for church, now that the pastor was kind of talking to him, and they gave us a church authority and told their son to work. We started this work over here the third Sunday in May of 1980, our first service. We went looking places to have services and have services. Everywhere we found them. $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month. We can't afford nothing like that. We found this real estate agent and he said, I tell you what, I've got a place that won't cost you nothing. You can have it as long as you want. So we started out the third Sunday in May of 1980. We started there. About the last of June of that year, of that magazine in June, he called me and said, well, I'm sorry. I've got somebody to rent that building. He said, you're going to have to leave. We had an all-day service there that day, singing. And I left there that day. It was hard. We had to pack up all the stuff we had there. And I told the people, I said, I don't know where we're going. We'll be somewhere there. Then on Monday, Brother Keaton called me and said, well, I got you another place. He said, you reckon you can afford $30 a week? I said, well, I believe we can. So I just got a hold of everybody and we just moved from there. I think the Dr. Compton's office building where we went to. And it was a strip mall and it was just an open building. In the wintertime, women would bring quilts and put them under the legs. And we dropped plastic down from the ceiling to try to bring them off where it would get some kind of heat. And it was cold. It really was. But the Lord blessed us in all those times. It just kept on, and we moved up there to a little Southern Methodist church building on 4th Avenue, which is still there. And we was there, that's when we organized in 1984. And it was such a great blessing to be there at work. It's unreal to be here with you all and praying again until now. And see God working in all this work. If it didn't mean the Lord, it wouldn't be here. I tell you that because I went. If I had my time, I went back to bed. But the Lord said, no. This is where it's at. And this is home now. This is home. I thank God for you all. God bless you all. And keep looking to the Lord for help. That's where it all comes from. It's from the Lord. Thank you all.
If you'll notice in there,
Brother Hagin, I'd like to say,
yeah,
this man, he got that one going. He didn't stop at that. He went to other places. This man would drive from the Fed all the way to West Virginia. He did that for I don't know how long. But
thing that I always recognize about the Bible is God sends them out two by two. And Brother James was a great help to Brother Bill. There were some other preachers too. When one couldn't be there to help him, there was another one that came along and helped. And we'll remember them as time goes on. One of the things that I want you to recognize is that this church started out small and it's grown to you. I want you to notice that. It's grown to this kind of a building that we're blessed with. It's also, if you notice, there were some hard times. I'd already heard Sister Heather talk about being wrapped up in blankets in that building with no heat. I heard her tell about that the other day. We're privileged. Know that you're privileged. To have something like you're blessed with now, but you've got the truth more than anything. And that's the big thing that you have. Anybody else got anything you want to say before we go? Now, stay with us. Go ahead, brother.